Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. We are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, let's understand something. What you see as Christianity in the world is so different from what Jesus and the apostles taught. The megachurch that you see, called the Roman Catholic Church today, is quite a wondrous thing indeed. And they claim that Peter was the one who founded it. However, there's no record that Peter was ever in Rome. And the bones that they found that are supposed to be Peter's, guess what? When thoroughly examined, some of those bones were the bones of a woman. And the Roman Catholic Church is a vast church with over 1 billion members worldwide. And there are a lot of people who are Catholics who do good works, who are hard workers, who provide for their families, who are dedicated to the church. And they're really convinced that they are doing right. They are told by their priest that they are doing what is good. They are told that the only salvation that there is in all of the other churches are only ecclesiastical communities, that the only salvation is within the Roman Catholic Church. And yet, when you compare the Bible and look at it, there's a stark contrast between what the Bible says and what they teach. Now, it's very interesting. If you're a good Catholic, and there are a lot of people in the world who are called good Catholics, and that means you do what the church says. You go to Easter, to Christmas Mass. Some people get up as early as 4 a.m. and go to early morning Mass. And they go through all the rituals and all the things that they do, and they are assured that they're doing the will of God. And that if they're faithful to the church, they'll go to heaven when they die. And even if they end up in purgatory, if their relatives are able to pay for enough masses, the priest can pray you out of purgatory. That's a convenient arrangement, isn't it? Isn't it nice to have someone to pray you out of purgatory? Let's examine one of the basic fundamental tenets of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, we don't have time to go into the hundreds of doctrines that they have. But I beg of you, please, prove these things. And please do not think that this is an attack upon you. And do not think, as Mr. Donahue, who's head of the Catholic Defense League, so that anyone who is against Catholicism is automatically branded as a heretic. I don't have a beef with the people who attend Roman Catholic churches. I just want them to understand what the Bible says. Because you see, as we have covered before, no man can tell God what to do. God is God and He gives the commands. And that's what we need to realize and understand. So, when the Roman Catholic Church says that we derive doctrine and teaching from the Scriptures, which we respect, and from the traditions of the Fathers, which we reverence. So I would like to ask you to do one thing. Even get out your Dalway version of the Bible. That's the one approved by the Roman Catholic Church. And do this. I want you to compare Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments there, and we'll go there in a minute, with your catechism book. And I want you to ask the question, why is the second commandment in the Bible removed from the catechism book? And the tenth commandment is split in two. So in the catechism book, and you're told as you study the catechism book, that these are the commandments of God. And they line up like this. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. You shall honor your father and mother. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And then there are two commandments on covetousness. When in the original, there's only one. What did they deliberately leave out of the catechism book, which is clearly in your Tao Way version of the Bible? But they don't teach that. So let's go to Exodus 20 and let's see what is missing. And let's see that it is one of the most vital, fundamental commandments that God has given. And there are many excuses as to why that they have it this way. And this is going to come as a shock. Because you see, it's the commandment against making idols. Let's read it. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. Now the second one is, listen to this very carefully. And the next time you go to Mass on Sunday morning, be it early, late, or even in some areas where you don't have very many priests, you may even do it on Saturday night. And I want you to look at the exterior of the church. And I want you to ask yourself, why do we have all these idols? And when you go inside your church, I want you to look at all the idols and statues, and I want you to look at the main sanctuary right up front of the church, filled with crosses, crucifix, idols, statues of saints, etc. And I want you to ask the question, why does the church have all of these? And then I want you to just, since you may have gone there or may not have gone there, I want you to picture all of St. Peter's Basilica from the courtyard outside, which has a phallic symbol of an obelisk. And then as the courtyard comes around, all on top of the colonnades are statues of saints. And then you go into St. Peter's Basilica, and there are idols and statues and carvings and paintings, and the Sistine Chapel with all the paintings of famous Michelangelo. And I want you to look at the main sanctuary where the Pope has his high mass on holidays. And I want you to look at it. And I want you to ask the question, why do they have serpentine columns? Why at the top do they have a sunburst? Why do they have bees and flies carved into it? Then I want you to read this commandment here. Number 2. That's why it's not in your catechism book, because they don't want you to know that they have deliberately violated the commandments of God. And then they tell you that it's perfectly all right for you to have rosaries and beads and crosses and crucifixes and pictures of Jesus in your house. I want you to read this commandment. Now don't get mad at me. I didn't put it in your Tao Way version of your Bible last night while you were sleeping. It's been there all the time. But what I want you to do is I want you to ask your priest, why did they do this? Do you think that any man can take away from the Word of God and God will bind it? Do you think that God will prosper people who directly, officially transgress the commandments of God? Or let's read it. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. What does that commandment tell us? don't make them. Now, I remember asking Priest Duhlmeier, who was on Religion on the Line years ago in Los Angeles when I was there, bringing out things in the Bible. And someone always calls up and says, why do you call the priest father when the Bible says, call no man your father? Can't answer it. Someone always calls up and says, why do you have idols in your cathedrals? Why do you worship them? Well, we don't worship them, we venerate them. Wonder what the difference is between worshiping and venerating. But what does the commandment say? Don't make them. Why then did they make them? That's the fundamental question. And why then do they sell them in their church stores? And why then do people go to St. Peter's Basilica to get the Pope to bless their rosary, which is an idol, when God says, do not make them? Furthermore, verse 5, you shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. What does this tell us? This tells us that those who practice idolatry hate God. But you think you love God. And you think your priest represents God. Pray tell. How can an idolatrous priest represent God? And furthermore, since no one can tell God what to do, how can an idolatrous priest command Jesus Christ to put his flesh and blood in the sacraments, so-called, of the Eucharist, when Jesus, after being resurrected, no longer has flesh and blood, but he is a spirit being? Maybe no one has asked these questions of you before. But you see, this is why Church at Home, we will ask the questions without intimidation from anyone. We do not follow the traditions of men, whether Judaism, Catholicism, Protestantism, Buddhism, Hinduism. We follow the Word of God, and we all ought to be scripturalists, because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did we just read some of the words that God spoke to the children of Israel, and which also apply to the church? Because we will see, we are told to flee idolatry in the New Testament, and yet Roman Catholic Church says that they are a New Testament church. That is not true. When you really begin to examine all the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church in the light of the Bible, you are going to find one deception after another, one lie after another. Is it any wonder then that the priesthood is caught up in so many sexual sins? Is it any wonder that they are arrogantly removed from the people? Think about it. Now, they have a lot of good works that they do, but all of those good works amount to nothing with idolatry. A good work over here does not justify a transgression over here. So the whole church is in an idolatrous system. But notice verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments, right there, right after the second commandment, to enforce that. Because people are prone to making idols and statues and representing God. I remember one interview with the Dalai Lama, that there was a reporter who went to do a special on him, and the Dalai Lama pointed to a little fat Buddha over on his desk, and he sort of laughed, tee hee 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 hee, that's my boss. And I thought, yeah, true. If that's your boss, you represent God as an idol. God is not there. God is not with the Dalai Lama. God is not with the Pope. How can you say that? Because God will not be there wherever there are graven images. Now, let's come to Isaiah 44. Let's see God who created the heavens and earth and everything that in them is. God who said, you shall not make any graven image of any likeness of anything in the heaven above and the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth, and don't bow down to worship them. Let's see how God views idolatry. Let's see how God views the factories that make these idols and mold them in gold and silver and overlay them with gold. Verse 9, Isaiah 44. I want you to think about this. I want you to think, is your religion truthful and profitable? Verse 9, those who make a graven image are all of them vanity. The things in which they delight shall not help, and they are their own witnesses. They do not see nor know that they may be ashamed. Oh, yes, there are idols that supposedly bleed out of the eyes and bleed out of the hands of Jesus where he was supposedly crucified. Those are demonic apparitions. They're not from God, because God has nothing to do with any of that. Verse 10, who has formed a god or melted a graven image that is profitable for anything? Isn't that something? What is it good for? To hold you in superstition and fear? Verse 11, behold, all his companions, that is, those who make these things, shall be ashamed, and the craftsmen, they are all of men. Let them all come together. Let them stand up. They shall dread. They shall be ashamed together. Notice how God views this. Here's a whole industry. Now, we found that in Acts, the 19th chapter, where they were, the idol makers were making idols of Diana, the goddess of the Greeks. Well, what do we have today? We have idol makers making images of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Notice what he says. Verse 12, the blacksmith fashions an axe. He works in the coals. He forms it with hammers. He works it with the strength of his arms. Then he is hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is weak. The carpenter fashions wood and stretches out a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with carving tools, and he marks it out with a compass and makes it after the image of a man, according to the beauty of a man, to sit in a house. Amazing workmanship. Or he does it with rock. Verse 14, he cuts down cedars, takes cypress and oak, and he makes of the trees of the forest strong for himself. He plants a tree, and the rain makes it grow. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bakes breads. Yea, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down to worship it. Amazing, isn't that so? And what happens in the processions when the Virgin Mary idol comes by? Everyone does this and bows their head. What happens to the real fervent, zealous worshipers of Catholicism? They flagellate themselves with whips so their backs bleed. And in Mexico, they get on their knees where there's broken glass on the road, and they kneel and they crawl on their knees all the way to the Cathedral of the Virgin of Guadalupe. And they are righteous. Notice how God looks at it. Verse 16, he burns part of it in the fire, with part of it he eats flesh. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And with the rest of it, he makes a god, his graven image, and falls down to it and worship and prays to it and says, deliver me. You are my God. What do you do when you go into a cathedral and there is a statue of Jesus hanging on the cross and you worship it? Oh, well, that's just a representation of Jesus. God said, don't make any likeness of anything. Do you think God is going to hear that prayer? Do you think that that is of God? Or are you in obedience to Satan and his demons? And any answer to that prayer is not from God, but it's from Satan because he delights in your idolatry. Ever thought about that? Verse 18, they do not know nor understand, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand, and none thinks within his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, what have I done? I burned part of it in the fire, yea, I've also break bread upon the coals of it. I've roasted flesh and eaten, and shall I make the rest of it an abomination? That's what God calls idols, an abomination. Shall I fall down to the stock of the tree? So the next time you go into Sunday worship at a cathedral, and you have your rosary with you, and you look around and see all of this, I want you to ask yourself the question, why do I do this? It's not from God. He commands you not to do it. Why do you think that God will hear and answer your prayers? Now let's come to Ezekiel 14 and learn something else concerning idolatry. Because God does not even want you to have idols in your mind. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what God wants. That's what the Bible teaches. You cannot have a true relationship with God with idols. Notice what he says here. Ezekiel 14 and verse 1. And some of the elders of Israel came to me, that is Ezekiel, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Shall I at all be inquired by them? You need to ask yourself. Verse 4, therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord, every man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols. What is your idol? Where do you worship? Who told you they were sanctified? Can a man tell God what to do and sanctify an idol which God says is an abomination? Can men scheme and in their catechisms remove the second commandment, which they didn't touch in the Bible, in hopes that you wouldn't read it? But how can that possibly be of God? Well, the truth is, the New Testament calls it the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness. Have you ever thought that maybe you're part of that? Have you ever thought that when you go to church on Sunday, that's why you can't find God? Have you ever thought that these things are not of God? Have you ever thought, perhaps, maybe, I have been deceived? Now, God can forgive all of that, but you've got to come to God repenting, asking God to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your mind. That's why church at home, see in your house, you can put all of those things out. You can begin to find God in the privacy of your own home. That's what church at home is dedicated to. You can find God, understand his word, grow in grace and knowledge, and come to develop a relationship with God in the right way, in spirit and in truth. And the truth is, God does not accept any idols or statues or crucifixes or rosaries or any of these things. No medals of saints, no pictures, supposedly of Jesus. It's not of God. So I hope that if you are a good Catholic, that you would want to really become a true and good Christian. And you can begin by finding out that God does not want or accept any of these idols. then you must choose between God and the idols in your cathedral. So thank you for inviting me into your home. Please visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of sermons and many detailed Bible studies to teach you more of the Word of God. And thankful for inviting me into your home and listening to these messages. I hope that they are profitable for you. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying goodbye, everyone.